Welcome to the Analytics of Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. Had a thought over the week to go back and revisit a favorite article of mine from last summer that was written by Mike Sando over at The Athletic. It is his quarterback tiers, basically gets inputs from 50 coaches and evaluators, and they rank the starters in the NFL. They go a little bit further than that ranking. They didn't include rookies. They included basically guys in the league and some of the guys that were in like committee type situations. So they included like Mariota, for example, Foles and Trubisky, and so there was a more than 32 guys that were ranked. Once you include the rookies in there. So I just wanted to go back and look at some of these, and I think it's interesting, how much things can change, right? And this is kind of why security matters so much to the position, and it's really valuable to pay up for. So just some of these I think are eye-opening when you look at it. So we ranked the guys basically in tiers. So one is the best, two, three, four. Are basically down from there, right? With one being the best, and it does go down to five. Tier one can carry his team each week. The team wins because of him. He expertly handles pure passing situation. Has no real holes in his game. And then when you sort of go down and look, tier two can carry his team sometimes, but not consistently. He can handle pure passing situation in doses and possesses other dimensions that are special enough to evaluate him above tier three. He has a hole or two in his game, right? And then when you go down to three, it is a legitimate starter, but needs a heavier run game and or defensive component to win. A lower volume passing offense suits him the best. So that's kind of your game manager type of cohort. There's some guys in there that are kind of interesting. And then tier fours could be an unproven player with some upside or a veteran who is ultimately best suited to be a backup. So the system is basically you go through and you vote on the tiers, and then he gives like an average, kind of like an average grade on everybody. And that's kind of how it ends up ranking. So you go through and look at some of these here, and I think they're interesting. Dwayne Haskins was 33, and there was some optimism, right? He's a four who could be a two. There was some negatives. I didn't see him as a starter coming out. Accuracy, decision-making, all those things. He's just not consistent enough. One of the things I was looking for was, if there was any sign of some of the off-field stuff. But there wasn't really anything like that. It was just, don't know about his intangibles. I just haven't seen it yet. It will be interesting. That was sort of the only quote there that I thought was interesting. I'm not going to go through all of these, just some of the ones that I think are actionable. So Drew Lock was 30th. He was way down there. Mariota's actually 27th. So I think it was interesting. So a couple of the quotes, one guy was like, yeah, we beat the crap out of him. It was defensive coordinator, basically said he wasn't any good. Another said, I think John Gruden, if committed to him, could do what he did with Rich Gannon, because I think the guy has some really good ability. Mariota has issues keeping his eyes up the field, but I think he was in a tough position in Tennessee with the combination of things that had going on. At some point, you have to overcome whatever it is. So, kind of like some of what he saw, but spoke to some limited upside. So that's an interesting one to look for. Daniel Jones is pretty funny. He's going to jump some of the dudes in front of him in the third tier. And again, he was in third tier. He was ranked 25th. So kind of in that game manager type of tweener thing. His decision-making and poise are better than Josh Allen or Sam Darnold, and he is not on a better team. He has a better running back. He just makes good decisions, sees the field. I've been impressed, and he has enough poise where he can do it consistently, whereas I think Buffalo guy Allen doesn't and Darnold doesn't. There's some questions about his ball security. He's better than I thought he was coming out of college, but he led the league in fumbles and had a lot of bad plays at Duke. An offensive coordinator said you can rationalize and say he was outmanned playing against really good teams, but guys that have bad plays and just cited some of the turnover stuff. So not much changed there in terms of that narrative. So that's one to look at. Another one said, and this is one that consistently is interesting to me, Sam Darnold. I think Darnold is a legitimate starter, but don't know that he has a ton of upside, an opposing defensive coach said. I feel like the message is going to be, okay, flashed sometimes as a rookie, then he got hurt, then flashed this past year, and I feel like the message for his whole career is going to be that he is on the cusp of putting it together and becoming something he is not. I don't know if he has the decision-making. So that's interesting. And then someone else, a personnel director, said he is an up-and-coming young guy who has accuracy, who is more athletic than you know. He just has some young quarterback mistakes at times that you hope get cleaned up. And you know, there was kind of like a mixed bag on some of his instinctual stuff. Another one said, you're going to have critical points in games where defenses are going to contain you, and you have to stand there with the rush and make the throw with guys flying around you. Darnold makes plays from the pocket, but I don't think he is most comfortable in the pocket. And he's super instinctive, but, you know, kind of gave a little bit of a wishy-washy evaluation of him there. Bridgewater, 23, that's notable. Josh Allen, 22, this is fun. He enjoyed the third largest improvement from last year in average tier vote, so he went from 3.69 to 3.04, but stayed within that tier. Someone, a former head coach, said, I think he is a 3 trending towards a 2. I saw him make good throws this year in the pocket that were really good throws. He will stand in there and get hit and make an accurate throw down the field, and he has a good arm. I thought he did a better job understanding how to throw the ball later in the season, not always trying to throw it through the back of the wall. Notable. That's a notable one. He's not a real good decision maker. He is not especially accurate. He's a tough competitor, but just a dude, a lower 3, if you were asking me. That's a defensive coach who faced the Bills. An offensive coach said Allen would reach the second tier if he could compensate for the lack of instincts and accuracy by doing things like Lamar Jackson. So sometimes we don't get things right. A lot of these guys rely on their athleticism, but you don't see Kyler Murray or Russell Wilson take a lot of straight-up clean shots. With Josh and Lamar, they will lower their right shoulder. There are a couple of shots where you go, how the hell does he not get stretchered off? Josh is not as dynamic as those guys above him, and I think his passing leaves a little to be desired, but he is good. He makes enough plays. They play defense behind him. Right, so there's a lot of, hey, some potential there, limited upside kind of thing with him. So that's a notable one. Baker was 21. Again, I'm not going to read all of these. I just think some of them are interesting, especially when you get up to the top. Derek Carr is actually at 20. So again, looking at guys that were thinking about potentially moving teams. So it's kind of where his is. Newton was at 19, so that'll move. Tannehill's at 18. That'll probably move the other direction. Garoppolo's at 17. I don't know why people have a hard time giving him props. I think he is what he is, and it's okay. Not everyone is Aaron Rodgers. That is true. We haven't given out a bunch of ones this year. Can he strap it on his back and win it if he has to? I don't know if he is that either. They have such a dynamic run game. He kind of hid in behind that. I think he's a 3, and he's got to prove it. Last year he was the first full year of doing it. That is a good start. He's good, not great. An exec said he does some good things with a good cast. You worry about the deep ball, the consistent accuracy, but he's not bad. Just when you think he's going to be a 2, he does something and you are like, damn. Even in the playoff game against Minnesota, he wasn't very good. He got lucky a few times and they just ran the ball, played good defense. So again, kind of in that game manager. It just hasn't realized the potential. Goff, it's almost like a system guy, and it's not right there for him. He can't make shit out of nothing. That's his quote, not mine. And that is what the really good ones do, a secondary coach said. A defensive coordinator faced him, called Goff a systemized quarterback who gets shaky in the pocket after the rush. So again, that's notable in terms of if we're going to move systems here. Goff is a 2, and he's better than any of the critics want to give him credit for. An offensive coach said on the positive side, remember when New England was stealing the hand signals, telling Brady the coverage on every play, and he's just killing it through his first 5 or 6 years? I don't give a coach that much credit because the guy has the ball in his hands and has to make plays. Watch the production. The Rams are not a high percentage pass team. They throw it up the field. They ask a hell of a lot of Goff with the types of throws they make. Goff makes a lot of really, really good throws. So that's notable and kind of not the narrative on him. So that's kind of when you think about the Stafford stuff, you can sort of picture that in there as well. So it's like getting our perception from a dynasty or fantasy perspective is different than some of the NFL stuff. So these things are interesting in terms of scheme and how, now we sort of know what the answer is and how things are changing. I think it's interesting to look back at the perspectives and apply them going forward. The team fell apart around him. He struggled in blowouts. Who wouldn't? I'm not ready to toss him aside yet. He definitely took a step back, though. That was an executive. So, again, there's still some positivity around him. I think that's a notable one. Cousins is like one of the longest ones. I get it. People say Cousins is a 3, but when I look at the other 3s, there are none of those guys that I think are better. There are games where I see Cousins carry his team. This is a GM. I don't think he can do it week in and week out. He does need play action, zone stretch, and he needs some weapons. Matt Ryan is the exact same way. If I was choosing, I would choose Matt Ryan, but it wouldn't be by a lot. So that's an interesting comp, right? That's not that crazy when you think about those two players. Minnesota went right to the 2-minute coming out of the half. A coach said if Denver played cover 2 that entire half, there would be zero chance they could come back otherwise. Cousins hit a bunch of big plays for a single safety because Denver had some corner I've never heard of trying to cover Stephon Diggs. If they made Cousins dink and dunk, there's no way he could have done that for 30 minutes to come back. So that's interesting when you see some of the ways he's used. You don't ever go into a game going, boy, I don't know what we are going to do about this effing Cousins. Doesn't mean he's a bad player, legit starter, but needs some stuff around him, and uses a 4-letter word to describe that. Kyler, so again, I think that's an interesting one with Cousins. We're probably too low on him as a dynasty community in general. Kyler Murray was ranked 14th. He was at the top of Tier 3. It's notable. Murray is one of 17 quarterbacks drafted since 2013 to appear in quarterback tiers coming off of their rookie seasons. Of those, only Dak Prescott and Baker Mayfield pulled higher than the 2.68 average of Murray this year. They were just slightly better. Murray, Prescott, and Mayfield all ranked 14th at this stage. So, again, middle of the pack there. I like him because he's competitive, he's super accurate, he can run. The only problem for me, I know this doesn't skew in your quarterback evaluations, is that he is good when he runs the football, but when he does that too much, he can't last. So that's interesting. Multiple defensive coaches used the phrase pain in the ass to describe what they thought Murray would become. There's some comparisons to Wilson, although the general feel was that Murray would always be a better runner, Wilson the better passer. I think the kid is going to be really good, a defensive coach said. He knows when to run. He knows when to pass. He doesn't turn the ball over much. And that little joker can throw. They are going to be better. I am not ready to give the kid tier 2 yet, but I think he's a legitimate starter and will jump fast. So that's some positive stuff out of Murray. So we're seeing some growth. Rivers was actually 13. That's notable. Dak was at 12. He can make every throw. He's athletic. He has command. He's tough. Where's the hole in his game? A defensive coach who placed Prescott in the top tier said he hits deep balls. He has touch. He had somewhat of a rough game against Philly late in the season. I think he's a complete guy. People say he needs the run game, but they ran it too much in the playoffs. So that's actually interesting. Think about some of that aggressive stuff from a defensive coach. I always find the defensive coach's evaluation of quarterbacks interesting. He really impressed me just with he has a little it to him, AGM said. When you watch him live, he doesn't get fazed. He has a better arm talent than you thought. He's big. He stands strong in the pocket, more accurate than I thought. He can escape. He can buy time. He can create. He's one of those guys that he is also one of those guys that needs players around him. Who doesn't? When the left tackle went down, he was not as good. He is not in the top five that can carry it, but he's a strong two. I added the who doesn't in there. Dak is a surefire two, potentially could be a one, an offensive coordinator said. He needs a run in the playoffs, maybe a Super Bowl. I've watched a lot of his film. He does a nice job reading, and I think he's a great player. He was a fourth-round pick and thought of a little bit as a running quarterback in college. I think people are surprised at how good he is at reading and processing and throwing the ball where it needs to go and throwing it accurately. I have him as a high two, a top seven quarterback in the league. So a lot of positive comments there for Dak. Wentz was actually at 11. So this is, off of the prior podcast there that I did on Wentz. He was basically a one at a point, but he played – we played him this past season, and I thought he lost a little bit physically. Some of it was he didn't have the same weapons he had earlier on. But I also thought there were some inconsistencies in his game that I didn't see early on. Some of it may be because of the knee injury. It's also interesting out of there you hear guys wanted Nick Foles over him. It sounds like there might be something underlying there. So, again, looking kind of forward there in terms of some of the stuff. There were no psychologists on the voting panel this year. This is Sandow. No formally accredited ones anyways, but there were some interesting analysis of an unusual situation, one where the team never played better than when the anointed franchise quarterback was lost and the backup won at all. So again, this is prescient in some ways. Here's a quote. You have these veteran receivers there who want their targets. You have Aguilar struggling with drops in a contract year, and then you have a young quarterback whose personality might not be strong enough to navigate all that, an exec said. The quarterback needs to be able to say, shut the F up, get in the huddle, this is the play, I'm going to go through my progressions, instead of worrying about a guy's targets. Speaking of some of the mental stuff. If you noticed, when they started playing good, it was because they had no names at receivers, almost like Wentz could finally just play the offense. That didn't turn out that well. I really like the guy, and when he plays, he can be a one, a former GM said. But injuries and the fact that they did not need him to win a Super Bowl against the Patriots and they won with a guy I think is a four makes it tough to push him higher. People say he is elite, and at times he might be, but it not consistent. So again, some of that mental stuff popping up is interesting, and it'll be see how he goes from there. He can carry a team at some times. It's a Matt Ryan one, talking about some of his inconsistencies. Stafford at 9, 2 at minimum, an exec with the NFC North ties said. He was trending to a 1 this past year before he got hurt. Again, he missed some time at the end of that year. If that Joker was healthy, someone's tipping themselves off by using Joker again, he would have been a 1 this year. I think he is doing better and fits better within the scheme under Daryl Bevel. Why hasn't he won more? I always try to put a finger on it, a coach said. We always talk about the culture. Pat Mahomes comes into the league and sits behind Alex Smith, and you have Andy Reid there. If you put Matt Stafford in that situation, his rookie year, and he gets to, okay, this is a Hall of Fame head coach, a quarterback that has been around the league that I can learn from and see his habits. I don't know if Matt Stafford has ever been exposed to what it's supposed to look like. So that's interesting in terms of potentially transitioning. He's the opposite of Watson, an evaluator who placed Stafford in the third tier said he's kind of with Derek Carr, big, strong arm, a couple of wild passes here and there, but not a consistent winner, and your errors sometimes lose you games. So again, going with quarterback wins is an evaluation there. So that's notable. Ben is at 8. Lamar Jackson's at 7, so we'll see. That'd be an interesting one. Brady's at 6. Deshaun Watson's at 5, so he's up in tier 1. That was a big jump, too. And some people talking about, his wins and all that stuff, which doesn't seem too helpful. Breeze is at 4, so that was kind of a whiff. Just catch some of the Breeze quotes here. The dude is deadly. His football acumen, his ability to see the field, to read defenses. When he came off the injury with his thumb, he did not have the same velocity on the ball. But when you play them dudes, you're scared to death because of them. I gave him a 2, but I really wanted to give him a 3, a defensive coach said. I think the system helps him. I don't think he can throw the ball as well outside the numbers unless it's 5 yards or less. That's a scary thought. He can throw an over route out of play action, but he doesn't sit back there and hold the ball. I gave him a 2 because he knows the offense, but I'm not scared of him. So that's interesting. That was a prescient one here. So we'll look for some of these going forward in terms of some of that. Some of that decline stuff might be stuff we need to actually look for. Rodgers up at 3. Again, that's no surprise given who's grading him. Someone said he's clearly lost something in his game. He still has his wild moments, but he's not the same guy he was in the last 10 years. I faced him so many times, and he is the same guy a different defensive coach said. So then that coach spoke mostly about the weapons. So again, you kind of see what you see. And it's interesting when they cite some of the guys that actually play him a ton. Wilson was 1, and Mahomes was tied there with him at 1. They had 50, all 50 top-tier votes. So Rodgers just missed out with a couple of tier two votes. So, yeah, so this will be all stuff we're going to look at going forward. It'll be it's like a midsummer type thing. I would expect, you know, the Brady is at 6. It'll be interesting to see where that one is. Some of the big fallers, obviously Ben's probably going to fall, I would imagine. Interesting to see what happens with Stafford and Ryan. Wentz will probably fall too, I would imagine. Dak Prescott should be up with off that injury stuff. So that'll be interesting. And you sort of get into the mid-teens, and that's kind of where it tends to look a little bit different in the analysis, which is kind of what we're seeing in some of the dynasty stuff. So we can look at some of the things, you know, maybe there's some positives there with Stafford in terms of some of the usage things we might not necessarily appreciate out of the Rams. I think that's one thing in particular. And some of the comments about Goff and that, hey, he wasn't just a system guy. He's making some kind of tough throws in some spots that are a little bit more difficult. Again, might be something that we might not necessarily appreciate. It does show up in the stats, too. They were similar guys. So we'll see. Maybe that does take some of the ceiling off of what you would consider for Stafford. Not sure. Have to think about that a little bit more. So, all right, well, that'll do it for this episode. Until next time, continue embracing the variance, and we will talk again very soon.